Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. September 16, 2020. Medium published my new article, "A Charlottehover Depends on Us." We are on the threshold of a complete revolution, a substantial change in our attitude toward ourselves, society, humanity, and all of nature. Rosh Hashanah, in Hebrew meaning the head or beginning of the year, arrives at a special time, one like never before, in the midst of a global pandemic. We are aware of the far-reaching impact of the virus, but we need to ask ourselves, for what purpose did it arrive? The answer to this question is the key to a good new year, a Charlottehover 5781. The coronavirus era is reshaping our lives, literally by force. It is moving us toward a higher and more advanced world in which all the parts are bound together. The fact that the world looks exactly the opposite now, filled with ego games, violence, corruption, struggles and riots, is all part of the development process. The coronavirus is showing us just how our individualistic, self-serving behavior is leading us to destruction and pain. By looking ourselves square in the eyes in the mirror, with complete honesty, we will want to reform and correct our nature into one that only wants mutual cooperation and unity. The increasing challenges and predicaments we are experiencing awaken worldwide introspection in order to realize that the current path humanity treads is not leading us to a good place. This recognition alone is already a very important step in our development. The coronavirus has turned out to be a force that is awakening humanity to undertake a complete revision of its state. Our current understanding of what is happening boils down to awareness that we are being beaten by this virus. But our discernments do not dig deeper than that. We have no idea what the blows are directing us toward, where they are coming from, and more importantly, for what purpose. We are as helpless and disoriented as a newborn baby who feels pain and will not stop crying, without any understanding of the reason for the situation. Thus, our most important challenge is to discover the reason for the coronavirus, not in the biological sense, but in the essential sense, from its very origin. Social distancing, masks, crowd prevention, a global race for a vaccine, experimental treatments, all are measures looking to alleviate the problem of COVID-19. Nevertheless, none will be able to constitute a comprehensive solution to the coronavirus phenomenon. Nature, just like a loving parent, always works for the good of all of creation together. The blows, pressures, and anguish, as painful as they feel to each individual, do not come to harm us, but to bring us to balance with nature, and by that, to a better life. Their purpose is to sharpen our awareness of our priorities in life, of what really matters, our harmonious relations with each other and with nature. The pandemic is aimed at teaching us how to approach our surrounding environment properly, in an integrated and complementary way, with the desire to do good to others and to our environment. Nature is global, integral, and unified. Thus, the trend of evolutionary development is to cause us to identify ourselves with those same qualities, despite the fact that we were created different and distant from each other. The coronavirus era is reshaping our lives, literally by force. It is moving us toward a higher and more advanced world in which all the parts are bound together. The fact that the world looks exactly the opposite now, filled with ego games, violence, corruption, struggles and riots, is all part of the development process. If at the beginning of the pandemic we still saw manifestations of solidarity and mutual help, today everyone's patience has run out. Moreover, the illusion that we treat each other well has been shattered, and it has become clear that it is human nature to look out for only oneself. The helplessness we are feeling will lead us to search for guidance from our sages who, throughout thousands of years, created a unifying method for this special time to usher humanity to a new horizon. This timeless method develops in a person the vision and feeling that we are all within one system. Once this notion is firmly instilled in us, it becomes natural to treat others as we would like to be treated until we become as one man in one heart. And when we are finally harmoniously connected, we will feel how the one power in nature that rules everything in reality does only good to us. So what should we wish ourselves for the new year? First, to recognize our egoistic human nature as a self-destructive force that separates us. Second, that we will desire to change direction and connect for the good of all. By this, we will activate the force in nature that radiates a healthy and peaceful world. Our intention and will to build a deep connection between our hearts will heal the coronavirus at its root and will ensure that next year will be the sweetest we have ever experienced, a true Sharnatova. The key to the lock. Usually, we communicate not through similar properties but precisely where we are opposite to each other. This is how the pieces of a puzzle are connected. There is a notch in one, there is exactly the same protrusion in the other, and then each goes inside the other, attaching the minus to the plus and the plus to the minus. Only in this form is the connection possible. Therefore, where I see a minus in a friend, I come there with my plus. And where I see a plus in a friend, I should see my minus. It turns out that it is good for us, that the Creator awakens opposite qualities in us. You don't need to change them, you just need to ask everyone to connect them together. This is the only thing that is missing, and you don't need to change anyone. Let all the pluses and minuses gather into one another like a key in a lock. It will become a life force for us. We will be able to understand what connection is, what an electron, a proton, a neutron, and other particles are. There are more than 400 different particles in an atom. Why are there so many? Isn't just plus and minus enough? No, this is not enough. There must be many other particles around them with all sorts of properties in order to support the combination of pros and cons and bring them together into one atom. From this, we will understand what physicists still lack to understand how matter works. We rise above our understanding and feeling because the main thing is connection. As it is said, love will cover all crimes. A friend has a minus, I have a plus, or vice versa, he has a surplus and I have a deficiency, no matter what kind, the main thing is that there is love, that we are united in a common goal, that we strive for the Creator who will reign between us. Inside, there is a common minus one against the other, but outside, the Creator covers us, with his veil, the power of unity. We should not act like children who cut the corners of a puzzle with scissors hoping that it will be easier to assemble it. He will not be able to connect at all like that. And you cannot try to force the wrong pieces of the puzzle into each other. We must understand that all the properties created in us, by the Creator are 100% correct. We are absolutely perfect. We just need to find out the correct connection between us, and ask the Creator to make it happen. We find out the deficiency between us, that is, in what we cannot connect, our common minus, which is the fact that no one can connect to the other. And then we call for help from the Creator who comes and fills us, with his power of bestowal, complements Malkut with Bina, and then everything works out. From the second part of the Daily Kabbalah lesson, September 10, 2020. The Law of the Avut, Mutual Guarantee. Medium published my new article. So long, teddy bear, time to grow up if we want COVID out. As I said from the beginning of the outbreak, the coronavirus is not another virus and COVID-19 is not another pandemic. It's a game changer, a transformer that will turn our lives upside down and inside out. When it's done, we will be different people, and until it's done, it won't go away. Whatever picture governments and the media are painting, the truth is that we are in the midst of an economic, social, and political meltdown. The very basis of our way of life, where we are forced to compete with one another for resources and funds, and over social status and respect, where we cannot trust anyone because the success of one necessarily means the failure of another, that basis of our previous lives is finally dissolving. When we transform our approach from selfish to selfless, we will collaborate even better, and everyone will truly benefit from our common products. There will be abundance for everyone. Just as melting snow creates a lot of mud, but underneath it the grass is growing and buds are shooting up from the frozen earth, so our lives are shedding their former, frozen facade, and a new one, vibrant and joyful, is budding. But until it sprouts, we're going to have to do some wading in the mud. In the meantime, there are several things we can do to expedite the budding of our new and better life. 1. We have been hanging on to our old lives as if we're adolescents gripping to a shabby, frayed teddy bear that we have loved since childhood. We cannot see that Mother Nature is offering us a plethora of new and exciting games to play, suitable for our age and understanding. We're so hung up on the past that we cannot release our grip on it and grab the wealth that future is offering us. However, it will happen nonetheless. We will have to give up our old way of life since we are changing whether we like it or not. Even if businesses are reopened without any limitations, buyers won't come as they did before and businesses will collapse in droves. If we transition to the new era mindfully, we will be able to provide everyone with income and occupations. If we do not, we will still do it, eventually, but after a parade of disasters. The catastrophes we are seeing now all across America are just a prelude to a cacophony of colliding and contemporaneous adversities. 2. We have to understand that essentially, we're not going through an economic crisis. Seeing it this way is the narrow worldview of financiers who make their living by exploiting people and seizing financial opportunities. But in truth, we are going through a social transformation, a transition from a selfish to a selfless attitude toward life. We may think that living selflessly gives you less material abundance, but this is absolutely wrong. When a society lives selflessly, its residents all guarantee the well-being of each and every member of the community. This means that they never have to worry about food, shelter, education, healthcare, energy, and after-school activities. Instead of individuals caring for themselves, the community cares for them. People, in return, do the same for others, but their minds and hearts are carefree. As a result of the transformation in society, our whole concept of the economy will change. Since the economy reflects the relations in society, when members in the society collaborate, the economy becomes collaborative, too. Also, this process does not unfold in any compulsory manner, but simply because it's in everyone's best interest. Consider this, we already live in a collaborative society. Nothing we produce is made 100% locally, and without collaboration from countless other manufacturers in numerous countries, we wouldn't be able to produce anything. So the problem is not that we don't collaborate, but that we collaborate against our will and attempt to extort, manipulate, and cheat on each other in the process. When we transform our approach from selfish to selfless, we will collaborate even better, and everyone will truly benefit from our common products. There will be abundance for everyone. 3. The third, and most important requirement for expediting the transition from the old world to the new is mutual support. We have to help each other see where we are going, that we are heading toward a beautiful life. People will not be able to let go of their teddy bears and embrace the new and easy living until they see others do the same. So think about it, talk about it, and excite others about the new life ahead, because as soon as we agree to the transition we are going through, the budding shoots will burst through the snow and a new spring will begin. Medium published my new article Repenting Last Year's Sins Does Not Permit Their Repetition in the Next. In the weeks leading up to Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement, and especially on that holiest day of the year, many Jews repent last year's sins. We ask God to forgive our sins against Him, and mainly against each other, and plead with Him to erase our indictment. We confess our sins before Him, and in return, expect Him to forgive us. Every occasion on the Hebrew calendar symbolizes a stage in our transformation from selfishness to selflessness. This is the meaning of tikkun, that we become good people, who want to do good to one another and strive to love our neighbors as ourselves. At the end of the fast, we sing with joy that our sins have been forgiven and God has forgiven our sins. And what do? Immediately afterwards, we begin to fill up next year's sheet. This is a complete misunderstanding of the whole idea of Selikot, the request for the Creator's forgiveness. Every occasion on the Hebrew calendar symbolizes a stage in our transformation from selfishness to selflessness. This is the meaning of tikkun, that we become good people, who want to do good to one another and strive to love our neighbors as ourselves. Selikot is not permission to sin next year, it is a pledge to refrain from sin, a request of God to change our evil, selfish inclination into a good, giving inclination. If we resume our mistreatment of each other as soon as Yom Kippur is over, it's as if we tried to cheat God. It doesn't work. We Jews have the obligation to correct ourselves and be a role model nation, a light unto nations. This is why all our holidays are about transformation from egoism to altruism. As long as we avoid it, we are pariahs in the eyes of the world, a pestilence the world wants to clean up and clear out. We ask why there is anti-Semitism and why Jews have suffered at the hands of the nations throughout the generations, but we ourselves are causing them to hate us, through our abominable relation to our brethren. Every non-Jew, and especially anti-Semites, examines closely how we treat each other. Even Hitler wrote in Mein Kampf that Jews unite only when a common booty entices them to cooperate, but otherwise, they are mean to one another. If we want atonement for our sins, we need to look at our past only in order to learn from it how to treat each other better, and ask God to give us the strength to keep our promise to Him, but mainly to each other. Guide for Round Tables, Part 2. A round table is a serious psychological training. Question. The circle methodology consists of three parts. The first part is educational. It is necessary for understanding the entire process, the final goal, and means. This can be a mini lecture, watching a movie, reading sources, and then discussing it. The second is the discussion itself. It is also divided into different parts, games, reflection, and a workshop. And the third is practice, that is, the application of skills acquired in the circle, in everyday life. Should we then implement in our lives, at work, and in our families, the attitude we received from the round table? Answer: a round table, or the concept of raising a person above his egoism in order to get closer to others, not just learning information or getting impressions from each, but connecting among us, in understanding the problem and its solution, is a whole set of joint actions. I do not think this is just a small introduction to the concept of the round table. People should accept this, acquire practical skills to understand when they can rise above themselves or bend themselves before others. To understand what kind of communication should be between them, I bend before others, or I am on par with them, or I am above them. How can all this be correctly oriented, etc.? I consider the first educational stage the most important. It is very strong and includes a large number of varied exercises. This is a serious psychological training where people understand where they are and what they should do. From CabTV's Management Skills, July 9, 2020. What will become of us? Remark: we see that the virus has changed people. There used to be all these races, where to go to rest, where to fly to, buying plane tickets in advance, what to buy, how to dress. All of these occupied a person's central thoughts. Today, a person has an incomprehensible future. He has anxiety. Something was born inside him that begins to ask, "What will become of me?" My comment, now a question about the future arises in a person. It has always seemed to us that the future was moving along some kind of developing egoistic steps. Now, this is no longer true and will not be like that in the future. Everything is ending. The virus is eating up this future, and therefore we do not know how to build it. Remark, there was always such a linear development of egoism that tomorrow there would be something, the day after tomorrow there would be something. My comment, there would be even more, it will be even better. Let's fly to the stars. And apple trees will bloom on Mars, etc. Only 20 to 30 years have passed, look at what is being done with the Earth, with outer space, and with everything. There is no solution anywhere. This is a terrible disappointment of all humanity in itself. This is a stunning change. But that is great. We are finally starting to remove the veil from our eyes. Our selfishness blinded us. I will build it for you. I will do it for you. Come on, look. Go to the sea, go abroad. Look how many beautiful girls. Look what music there is. Look at what is being done. What a life. That is all. Remark, so when we hear there will be no life, this is what our egoism tells us. On the contrary, there will be life. But our egoism says, there will be no life. My comment, yes. Therefore, we welcome it. Selfishness moves us forward. Question, despite the fact that it is now painting complete blackness for us, do you call this forward? Answer, it paints it correctly for us, because inside it we will feel like this. Question, so if we are following the egoistic path that we have followed so far, is there an abyss ahead? Answer, yes, but in nature, after all, this is done in advance that all ends well anyway. It cannot be in our life, in our world, in this nature so that everything is so stupid with a dead end beyond which there is nothing. It is reborn, just as all stages and times in nature are reborn. The future step determines darkness because it is not darkness. What seems as darkness ahead of us is already a future step that we feel as darkness today because we are not yet determined to see this step. When we take a good look at the darkness, suddenly we will see, this is not darkness, these are not even silhouettes, these are not even some semi-gloomy states. It is actually a huge light. This is a new world. Question, has the highest step been lowered to us, now? To us, it seems to be absolute darkness now. We want to live as we lived, but we can no longer live as we did. What should be done now? Grab hold of it. Answer, we must accept it as it is and try to adapt to it. What is in it is the very best. In this way, we will re-educate ourselves. Question, what is the next step? Answer, it is a new world in which a person will exist in the forces of good, connection, bestowal, and love. It is approaching, and therefore it seems to us, as darkness. But everything will be fine. The virus will help us. Question, does this push from behind drive us, exactly to this stage? Does it definitely lead to this stage? Answer, yes. Viruses actually define our entire life. We are all just viruses. We can say that we are made of them. Even scientists say so. Therefore, we must see the correct changes in our nature in this. Question, if I now direct myself even a little bit to this step with good thoughts, will I try to be in them? Answer, then you will adapt to it quickly, easily, and you will not feel there is some kind of abrupt transition to the next step at all. Question, so is the future world good and bright? Answer, it is already coming, it is already here. Let's take it. Let's not do any virology at all. We will all work together to adapt to each other. Suddenly this virus will be between us, as a link. We will begin to feel each other closer to our hearts. All will pass. From CAB TV's News with Michael Lateman, June 22, 2020. Turn life into a game. Question, Our entire life is based on a game. Russian sociologist Vladimir Lenin wrote, "The game is a different life, acting as a man-made oasis inside the chaos of real life." If the game is our entire life, how can a person distinguish what is real life and what is a game? Answer: there is no need to distinguish, you need to turn life into a game. This will be good. Question: how can you not remain a small child? Answer: let me be a little child. I should feel like a little kid. What does it mean that I am big? What am I so big in? Nowhere and in nothing. On the contrary, let me feel that I am small in comparison with the entire universe, with all the huge cosmos, and there are things for me to comprehend, to receive, and to be filled with, to live with my eyes and my mouth open. Question: the first function of the game is to compensate for the unused energy in the struggle for survival. A person accumulates energy, often negative, which he must somehow throw away, realize. How can a person realize this negative energy today, so that it does not lead to fatal outcomes? How can a person use the negative energy that accumulates in him or her for constructive causes? Answer: you must show a person the meaning, that this meaning is directly connected to him, and what can be the reward for realizing this meaning. Question: the game ensures the preservation of the qualities given by nature, but are not required in the real life of an individual. How can a person reveal and recognize the hidden qualities, the hidden opportunities, that nature has implanted in him? Answer: only in a group. In a particular group of people, when all of them are engaged in discovering their internal, unused, potential opportunities in order to rise above themselves. Above themselves is only in the society. Thus, we need to gather together into a group where everyone wants to rise above themselves to reach such a connection between them when they will rise together into something common. Let us, say 10 people come together and become one. This one will consist of all of them, but together they will feel that this qualitative change in themselves, that everyone became 10 times smarter, 10 times stronger, 10 times more perspicacious, and so on. Question: in an imperfect world with a hectic life, the game creates temporary, limited perfection. This is always some kind of a short cycle. Can the game be turned into an infinite game so that it does not end? Answer: yes, this is what a game is. A real game is one that can be turned into an endless game, an endless activity. However, only if there are many of us. You cannot play the game alone. When there are many of us, we create completely different combinations through the game, as in a kaleidoscope. Have you ever looked through a kaleidoscope? When you turn it, the pieces of broken glass inside it move into some kind of structure. So, do we. When we make a kaleidoscope out of ourselves in this way, we get such pictures. We begin to discover ourselves as joint, compatible in such a form that in the end we receive one single whole, we become Adam, man, that is, a combined element. Question: what is a real game that is a win-win for everyone? Answer: this is when a person reveals the true universe and begins playing it for real. In earnest. Question: what does it mean to play in earnest? Answer: it is when one plays above life and death. Not for life and not for death, but above them for connection with others and builds perfection together with them. Only perfection can fill a person with meaning. From CabTV's News with Dr. Michael Leitman, July 12, 2020. What will make people kinder? Question: some social networks help people become kinder. In this tense time, when the pandemic is raging, politicians fight for votes, and protesters demand racial justice, human communication is becoming more important. Researchers at Carnegie Mellon University have developed an automated method to make communication more polite. Scientists are sure that politeness and kind communication will do good for us. Now they have developed an automated method to make communication kind. Can such algorithms really teach a person a different way of communication and a different line of thought? Answer: in principle, they can, to a very small extent. It depends on how seriously we will relate to such a communication model, how much we would be able to follow all these rules, sorry, please, thank you, and all the time instill positive emotions in each other, and so on. This can soften society in some way. But to a very insignificant extent, because by this we deviate from the purpose of creation. The purpose of creation is to bring a person to the awareness of his nature as evil. Therefore, we need to understand that no matter how good, white, and fluffy we are externally, outside of ourselves, inside we will still remain nasty, black, dark, and evil. So, it will not change us, from the inside, but it will help us quickly understand who we really are inside. Just like when you turn on the light in a room, you can better see how dirty it is. Question: is it that all kind messages, all kindness, and politeness only help to reveal the negativity that lurks inside? Answer: of course. Question: what happens to a person further? Answer: we begin to feel who we are within ourselves. Question: is it necessary to have both internal negativity and external kindness, external politeness, a positive attitude toward each other? Or should there be only kindness, grace, positivity, and harmonious communication? Answer: we must constantly struggle with our greedy, egoistic nature, and not just manifest all this on the outside in a beautiful form in relation to each other, like all the methods, both those you are talking about and others. We must understand that everything lies not in beautiful outer packaging, wrappings, bonbonniers, but in changing ourselves, our nature. Only then can we really achieve a state when humanity will become different. It will become different from within itself, giving, loving, and sympathetic. Question: what help does this evil in man bring? Why is it given to us at all? Answer: this evil is necessary in order to reveal our nature to us. This is our nature, this is us, not something artificial, external, extraneous. This is how our nature is revealed. It is not easy to reveal to a person how evil he is. Talk to people and you will see how they react when you tell them who they are. They will hate you, they will beat you. They will not agree with you. How can you accuse them of what is allegedly wrong? A person does not like it when it is pointed out to him. We need to reveal it each to himself and to others, and to help everyone together come to the conclusion that we are terrible beasts and have no other choice but to correct ourselves as soon as possible, otherwise, we will eat each other alive. Remark: you had an interesting tweet that said it is hatred that gives knowledge of how to fill a desire of another person. Therefore, the basis of life is self-love and egoism and the rest is its spice. My comment: yes. So, it is written, I created the evil inclination, and I made the Torah as its spice. Question: why does hatred help fulfill the desire of another person? Answer: because it turns into hatred of its nature, and thus inversely in the opposite direction, toward love for another person. It turns out that by turning my hatred inside out, I can hate it in myself and love another person. Question: can we say that this hatred, this evil that is in a person, should be treated as a sparring partner that helps us become better? Answer: yes. This is called help against him. Question: what would you say to all people who really expect kind attitudes, warmth, and harmony in communication from others? Answer: do not wait. Do not expect anything good from anyone. Just understand that everything depends on each of you. Change yourself, and the world will change. From CAB TV's News with Dr. Michael Leitman, July 1, 2020. Michael Leitman, on Quora: is this world going in a right direction? The world has been through enough preliminary phases, including regimes tilted to the far left and the far right, and it has experienced a great share of turbulence, turmoil and mistakes. Now the impending question is, what path will we take next? Over the course of humanity's history, we were constantly trying to work out what way to head next, to the right or to the left. What are we left with today? We have reached a stalemate in every field of human engagement, personally, socially, educationally, economically, ecologically and globally. We worked with all the systems we could devise, and ascertained that there is no single system or plan remaining that could steer us confidently into a bright future. We have entered a deadlock with no vision of a better future motivating us, and also nothing to goad us forward from behind either. Our era is thus characterized by the end of our egoistic trials and tribulations. The human ego gracefully stood behind every human endeavor, and every prior breakthrough and progress, giving just enough fuel for it to unfold and reveal how it fell short in providing lasting fulfillment and happiness. While engrossed in our ego, we can either receive egoistically or give egoistically. With an egoistic intention lying behind any act of receiving or giving, destruction is the inevitable conclusion. Nazi Germany was a harsh example of a regime based on receiving egoistically taken to an extreme, and on the other end of the spectrum, Communist Russia was also a harsh example of a regime based on giving egoistically taken to an extreme. Both led to devastation. We have squeezed out all the juices from these egoistic forms. We now need to leave our egos alone, acknowledge that they lead us to no positive outcome, and build a new level above them. This new level should be one of giving above receiving, and connecting positively above detachment and estrangement to each other. In order to build this new level, we need access to a new kind of fuel and motivation, which doesn't emerge naturally in our egoistic desires and thoughts. Such access can be granted via a new method of education, a method of connection, that shows us how we can develop positive connections above our egoistic differences and divisions. If some person, organization or movement wishes to pull people to a certain direction, to the left or to the right, then it is bound to fail. And we have the examples of such failure in Nazi Germany and Communist Russia. Today, we have the additional advantage of such experiences, that we can see how our egos devise systems that ultimately divide one people from another, and that such systems are set up for failure. Recognizing the failure of working according to our egos, we would thus be wise to accept a new kind of education, one that guides us on how to connect harmoniously above our egos. Connection above the ego is the world's only path left. This path means that we accept the fact that humanity is a single whole, and that we are all parts of this whole, as cells and organs in a human body. If a single cell takes from other cells more than it needs to survive, then it becomes cancerous and spreads disease throughout the body. Today, we experience such disease as myriad problems and crises spreading throughout humanity. And they all share the same root, each person locked in their narrow egoistic corner, acting in a tug-of-war battle with everyone else. We thus need to conclude that the human ego, which has based all of our development until today, has reached its expiry date. Using the ego unabated, with no inclination to acknowledge how it constantly operates on us, and with no motion to rise above it, delivers us all the problems we experience. The days of moving back and forth between left and right have reached their dead end. Today, our survival, at the very least, and moreover, our ability to draw motivation, happiness, success and confidence from a fresh new source of vitality, depends on us rising above our egoistic nature, period. New Life 1279. The Code for Success in the New Year.
Hello, and thanks for joining us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Yair Sidorel. Hello. And today we'd like to use this show in order to summarize the passing year in Israel and around the world. It was a very special year. We'd like to take a bit of a deeper look on our way to a better life. Yet, yeah, if we look at the very meaningful process that we've passed through on the global level, it's actually the coronavirus that started at the end of 2019. It entered very aggressively into 2020. And if we look at the contagion rates, we're talking about 25 million people. We're talking about more or less 850,000 people around the world that died as a result of the coronavirus. We're talking about pandemic centers that are growing in different places around the world. And on this show, we'd like to understand what's going on in the world. Do we have any kind of... We see that there is a difference between different geographical areas. What's happening in the United States is not what's happening in Europe or in Africa and so on. We'd like to understand, do you identify different processes in different places around the world, and what discernments do you have in regard to different geographical areas in the world in regards to the impact and the process that the corona is bringing with it? Humanity is a very various body. 70 nations of the world today, they present themselves as 130 or even 200 nations and different groups, countries, and there are more and more divisions. That's one thing. Another thing is that people from one end to the other of the planet are living in very different ways under the influence of very different nature. Here you have winter, here you have summer. You see how the planet's divided. You have the top, you have the bottom, you have the north, you have the south. So we can't compare between what the corona is doing in the summer and in the winter in Australia. It's winter, and here in Israel it's summer. And also the climate in general. See what you have in Asia, what you have in Europe, in Africa, in America. I mean, these are things that we can discuss for a long time, and I don't think that we'll understand much. We have to see, not on part of humanity, where are we, but on part of the corona, where are we? What does it want from us? This blow, the way it comes, the way it came, what is it demanding of us? And so we will somehow be able to reach an understanding about what is going on here. This is one thing. Another thing is that really we went through a very serious teaching. We're far from completing it yet, but we only got a few impressions from what we went through. But what exactly are we going through? We don't understand. Where is it taking us? We don't know. What is the final goal? We don't know either. We're like little animals that got a beating, and we're looking, where did these beatings come from? We don't know why. We don't know where. And we want to somehow hide from the blows as much as possible to protect ourselves. It's like the response of any living body that gets a blow immediately. It's looking for a corner. Where can I hide in the meantime so that the next blow will not come down upon me? We see it in government meetings, different medical institutions, bodies, international health organization, everywhere. This is how we all look at things. Humanity seems very miserable in this regard, really. And this is what happened The summary of the year is that we are in a state where we got blows like a little puppy that folds his tail between his legs, and this is our situation. That's it. If we're to look on the global scale at everything that's going on here, how do you conclude the year in terms of economical, financial, international relations? What processes are going on here? International relations are relatively frozen, because international relations are especially have to do with trade and culture. Well, trade, let's say. And because trade now is really in decline, that also has to do with people having no money. This is why branches like tourism are really collapsing. And who knows if they will ever rise again? I don't think so. If we're talking about the future, I think they have no future. And therefore, what's happening is that we are undergoing a necessary change under the pandemic itself. We're changing all the international relations and relations between people that we've finished with, the kinds of relations where we went wild like children in the backyard or in the sandbox. But today, it's already much more moderate. We don't have the strength or the means to be mutually connected or to play with each other. This is the second thing. The third thing is that also the cultural matter is frozen. Schools, universities, even kindergartens, it's all frozen. In the upcoming days, children and students and so on will have to go to kindergartens and schools and so on. I don't think that it's going to happen. I think that again and again it will bring a serious surge in the amount of those infected with the coronavirus, and we'll understand that we have no choice, but that we have to more correctly see the reason for this phenomenon. And the main reason, the deep inner reason for the coronavirus phenomenon is the egoistic relations between us. If we teach ourselves how to correctly treat each other, we don't need any remedy. We can open all kinds of relations between us in the most open way. If we don't change the relations between us for the better, to a state that is toward connection and even toward love, then no remedy will help. We will not be able to develop neither in kindergartens nor in schools or universities, and altogether it's going to be really hard for us until we will learn that everything depends on our good attitude toward each other, our good relationships. You said that humanity is very various, and we can't compare to areas around the planet or to nations. Where does it put the different countries or nations in terms of the egoistic relations between people? The way you see it, a country where the relations are more egoistic between people will be affected more by the corona, and vice versa. Where do you see the world map in regard to this diagnosis? I can't show you the map of all nations according to the level of their revealing, unfolding ego, that in every person and everyone from day to day, it's all changing. But undoubtedly, in societies like the Israeli nation in the land of Israel and the American nation in the United States, they will get very severe blows. Why specifically these two countries? Because Israel actually has to show the entire world the correct measure of connection, the correct form of connection. First and foremost, we're the ones that have to do it. Love your neighbor as yourself, and in that to be light onto the nations, to all people. And also in the United States, there the Israelis are a very influential part. Jews are a very influential part in American society. And as we said, that the American society itself is very egoistic, and there's nothing tying them together besides the ego. And there's no cultural, educational connection there, nothing. All the more religious connection, something that ties them together, that they, like, they once came from the same mother and father, like the French or the Germans, that they have some kind of root that ties them together. They don't have that. They don't feel that they're brothers, but they're there, but that they're complete strangers. This is how the American nation's built. And also the Jews among them, they too don't feel that they're a part of the Jews in general. We, the Jews, we don't feel that we're one nation, because really, we are a collection of all those nations that existed, that were, that lived in ancient Babylon, that Abraham took and gathered us, brought us together 3,500 years ago. And therefore, in our DNA, we don't feel that we're a part of each other. But as Bala Sulam writes, that we are brother for times of distress. Only when we're beaten, when we get blows, we feel that we're close. But once the hate passes, we move away from each other and disregard one another. So there are two countries, main countries, Israel and the United States, central countries. The era that we've entered, the corona era, is it going to change the world balance of forces? And if so, how? I don't think that we can talk this way, because for this there has to be very serious preparation for all of our listeners. And what I can say is that there will be very serious changes, first of all in the United States and in Israel. So, the centers of power that are important for the upcoming year, for now, is the United States and Israel. So, what will turn America into a stronger country than it is today? Before the crisis, it was clear that the United States is a superpower, more advanced, technological, most. Came the corona and as if slapped it. From all sides, things, this, that, today it's burning. What happened to America? Why? The greatest superpower got such a strong blow. It was based, built only upon the personal, particular ego of each and every one, without integrating any sense of national pride, national feeling, nothing. But everyone was ready to sell off that country and get out of there. No one cares. These forces that brought our world up to the coronavirus, and the forces that will govern the world from the coronavirus and on, what's the difference between the forces? The difference is that up until now, we have developed by our ego, that developed and pulled us toward further forms of our development. And from this day and on, we're no longer developing by our ego, but by the connection between us, according to quantity and quality that is developing, and accordingly we will advance. How does the ego develop, as this I understand? How does connection How is that a developing force? It'll develop us just like it's developing us already. Gradually it comes in and develops us, but instead of feeling that we're developing, we feel that we're deteriorating. Why? Because we don't understand this form of development. What we're looking at is what's going on with our ego, what's going on with our life. We feel more miserable. Were we to discuss the forms of our connection that are gradually starting to develop? And coming closer to each other, then we would have felt differently. We would have felt our development differently. So definitions are changing. According to these new definitions, what will cause a country to be strong, successful? To the measure to which there's closeness and good relationships between people. And if we look at things on the global level, what will cause a certain area to prosper? Does it have to do with a specific country, or also does it have to do with the relations between countries? The relations too, but mainly what's happening inside the country. In the meantime, what's happening inside the countries? And the matter of countries and borders, will it stay relevant, or its relevancy will go? And it doesn't matter now. You're asking about things that are completely unrelated to what concerns us now. What do I care? Borders, no borders. The center of power is becoming the connection between individuals. The stronger the connection will be between the people in a certain country, for example, it'll become better and more successful. Yes. So the connection should be what? A connection of inner closeness, that people will feel and understand each other, that they will feel that they're a part of the same society. What is that, this feeling of inner closeness? It has to do with education, with people, with the measure to which they understand, digest the form of connection that they have. If I take Israel, you said that Israel and the United States will be dominant. The main characteristic in Israel is that we feel that we're brothers in times of war. This is our life, actually. We're living in a constant war, and we're brothers in times of war. Is this inner closeness? Or what inner closeness is there here? We're closed in like brothers. But due to the problem that's surrounding us and keeping us together. So it's not enough. It's like a mother closes, locks all of her children that are fighting in one room and says, until you become good kids, until you love each other, you can't leave the room. So this development from being brothers in times of war to being brothers that are internally close, what process is there that children start understanding in that room that they're locked in? They start understanding why, and that mom's right, and that they have to change themselves, and how to work on themselves, and where to get these forces from that will connect them. And then when they see that they're on the way, and then they can, that they can hold together, that when they leave the room, they will remain in good relations between them. Once they come to that, suddenly they feel that there's no room, no door, no lock, that everything's open. What does that openness depend on? Their connection. You said that Israel has the potential to bring the code of connection according to love your neighbor as yourself. Now here in Israel, we're very disputed. Very. And I think that this year, with the corona and everything, made us even more disputed. that we're fighting each other even more. Meaning, if I summarize this year, in my personal feeling, Israel moved away from the point of love your neighbor as yourself. Top says I can love someone who's a part of my denomination, but also in my denomination there are 1,000 other denominations. But that's for later. We're not in that place of giving the world an example of loving each other. We're eating each other's heads. So what is it all headed toward? I see that we're in a state where we can learn only from the bad. Only from the bad. Otherwise, we don't have the brains to understand, to bring ourselves to the correct optimum understanding. And it's not only about our relations, it's about everything. We don't feel that we have a foundation. We never got it. And that's also in relation to country, to politics, society, everything. What could serve as a foundation that in which we will find the common denominator for everyone to be together, no matter who you are? What do you mean by no matter who you are? The thing is that in Israel, anyone can be prime minister, anyone can establish a new party. Everyone has the feeling that he's the smartest in the world. I'm not saying this in disregard. All the more, we're a nation of smart people. Great. I think it's a part of our nature. But from this place, how do we move from great separation to some kind of a common connection basis? What could be common? Because there's something higher than us. Only by that. I agree with what you said. Suppose that it's so. To give, to allow everyone to be prime minister. But who's going to be at the top? There has to be some kind of principle from above in relation or toward which we all bow, that towards it we all connect. What could that be? You tell me. What principle could there be? I'm not familiar with such a principle. Love. Only love can hold. Such prideful, proudful people, such condescending people together. What do you mean by love? That I feel that I'm smart and I feel and I everything besides one thing, that there's someone that I love. And love, this is what forces us. It's like with children. Forces us to do what? Forces us to do everything. It's an emotional development. Yeah? Can there be any other kind of development? Emotionally wise, it won't force you to do anything besides philosophize about it. A country will be strong if between its citizens a feeling of love will develop. Of course, that's all you need. That's all you need. Why? Because in that we will be connected with each other and with the upper force. That's it. The one that controls our life, that's sending corona and everything, where does that come from? There's just one source. Corona came from nature. And nature in Gematria is creator. Nature is the creator. Who created us? Nature. Who creates us? The Creator. Who created the corona? The Creator. Is there anyone besides him? Nature, I think. It's one and the same. You're just giving several names to the same phenomenon. So nature gave us corona. Why? In order to arrange us in ties of love. Yeah? Only this is what everything exists for and advances towards. Is it an evolutional process? Of course it is. Everything's by a plan. What's the main scene at the end of the process? To bring us closer with the Creator. Unfortunately, we have to finish, but the world got the corona blow, and the success is going to be in a new emotional connection. You said that Israel is going to be a very strong country. Can you explain what does Israel have to do in order to come out of this? Discover connection between all people, all of its people. That's it. And how do you measure connection? What's this yardstick? Arvut? Mutual guarantee? That I'm everyone's guarantor? And so is everyone else? Are you optimistic, Dr. Lightman? Very. Because the key to it is not in the hands of any Israeli or Jew, but in the hands of the upper force. So what can you wish us for this upcoming year, new year? For the upper force to work on us good and hard and in a goal-oriented fashion, and for us to suffer and realize our correct goal and reach it. Thank you very much, Dr. Lightman. Thank you, Yael. Thank you for... Till next time, all the best.
Guide for Roundtables, Part 1. Purpose of Roundtables. Question. In ancient times, our ancestors gathered around the campfire to discuss conflicts, resolve serious issues, and simply to strengthen social bonds. More than 2,000 years ago, during the Sanhedrin, the sages continued to solve state-level issues in a circle. In the 5th, 6th century, according to legend, the leader of the Britons, King Arthur, also used a round table to make the knights who gathered at it feel equal. In the modern sense, round table has been used since the 20th century as the name of one of the ways to organize the discussion of certain issues. What is the main purpose of using round tables? Answer: the main goal of the round tables is to show that all participants are equal, each of them has their own opinion, which they can freely express. Question. In which cases can a round table be used to resolve state-level conflicts, and in which cases can it simply be used to strengthen bonds? Answer. If there are serious prerequisites, it is possible to organize round tables at the state level. However, in the political environment, it is very rare to gather people who feel equal corresponding to the concept of a round table. This is usually done to show that everyone seemingly aims for the same thing, although this is almost impossible between politicians. Remark: when working in a circle, a special effect is formed that allows us to say that the circle is larger than the sum of its participants. This effect can be compared with such concepts as wisdom of the crowd and collective intelligence. My comment: the fact is that here the sum of effort is more than just the sum of the components. Since the participants who make up the round table must rise above their egoism, humble themselves in some way, and agree with the opinions of others, their joint efforts add up and sum up. It turns out that the round table effect is not just an arithmetic addition, but much more. If the participants' contradictions were very serious, then if they want to rise above them and reach the round table state, they achieve a major effect of connection, communication, and integration. From CapTV's Management Skills, July 9, 2020. live by the laws of nature. Comment: on one hand, you say that you need to live by the laws of nature, and on the other, you welcomed that everyone has finally stopped producing unnecessary things and they can stay at home with their family. My response: this is a temporary phenomenon. I don't think people can spend all their time at home. In principle, this is not necessary because it is an unjustified waste of time and life. It is necessary to do what is useful for society, for nature, for maintaining homeostasis. Question: how do you think household responsibilities should be distributed among family members? Answer: in a natural way. A man should help a woman, and a woman should maintain the home. From CAB TV's The Post-Coronavirus Era, May 21, 2020. Why is there no instinctive love between us? Question: can we assume that the instinctive love for children that nature instills in us can be used as an example of our relationship to other people? Answer: it would, of course, be wonderful. This is what the science of Kabbalah calls for: a person should treat everyone as his family because the whole world is one family. But we are still far from that. Question: do you think that the family unit was created by nature in order for a person to receive at least some example of the instinctive love that is inherent in us, and then he or she could go through life with this example? Answer: in principle, in the beginning, the family was a unit in which several generations lived together in close connection with each other. This was how nature intended if man, with his or her egoism, which is constantly developing in him or her, did not break this connection and did not build something from the original good family unit that turned into mutual enmity and hatred. We see that such examples are already embedded in us. Cain and Abel, although brothers, had enmity toward each other. In this example, humanity shows how deep and kind family ties can produce a completely opposite result. Question: why is there no instinctive love between spouses? Then the family would be stronger and the upbringing would be better. Answer: because people feel a huge gap between themselves. They have a desire for each other based only on the sexual instinct. Therefore, one should not associate the reproductive instinct with the instinct of attraction. These are completely different levels of relationships. Question: but why didn't nature create such an instinctive love between partners as the love of parents for a child? Answer: in order for us to create it ourselves. We must constantly learn this. And our instinctive love for children is very weak. We also need to develop it and talk about it all the time. There should be normal examples around us. Unfortunately, this is not in man. Everything is suppressed by our personal egoism. From CAB TV's The Post-Coronavirus Era, May 21, 2020. The departure of Jews from religion. Question: during the Enlightenment, many Jews moved to cities. 70-80% of them were engaged in trade, worked in factories, enrolled in universities, served in the army, and created their own parties. There was a departure from religion. Jews participated everywhere, even in the most anti-Semitic organizations. Among them were Mensheviks, socialist revolutionaries, Bolsheviks, and even Black Hundreds. A new division appeared, the religious one, which became one bloc, and the part that left religion. Why, from the point of view of the purpose of creation, is such a withdrawal from the spiritual roots of the majority of Jews? Answer: neither Hasidim nor the Litvaks, Lithuanian Jews, suited people who needed a clear methodology. What is religion for? Where does it lead? What is its purpose, its meaning? Why is it given to the Jewish people? This is a natural set of questions that arise among Jews who have gone through such long exiles, who emerged from the Middle Ages surrounded by other peoples, who also began to catch up, develop science, open universities, etc. In addition, a vision about the Jewish masses was created as being completely intimidated, ignorant, very far from the modern, constantly developing world. Therefore, there was a very serious difference between the progressive Jewish strata who went into science, art, and those who remained in the Jewish villages, in their yeshivas, Jewish educational institutions devoted to Talmudic study. Question: but from the point of view of spiritual development, is it good that people leave their history and forget everything? Answer: this story has outlived its usefulness since it existed on the ruins of the destroyed temple. It had no opportunity to continue further. There is a time to scatter stones and a time to collect them. But to this day, echoes of that period are felt, although in our time not so much, because the leaders of the religious part of the people realized that something had to be done, to somehow develop further. Therefore, in recent years, they no longer alienate people from approaching science, from acquiring normal occupations. Earlier, if a person wanted to live a religious life, he condemned himself to a beggarly existence without a normal profession. His family lived on a level lower than the rest of the Jews that were engaged in civilian practices. Therefore, having received the rites, the Jews rushed to the cities, to factories. When the Bolsheviks came to power, Jews became the bulk of the leadership in all parties and organizations. Not only men, but also women. Paradoxically, most of the Soviet leaders had Jewish wives. For more on this topic, read my book The Jewish Choice, Unity or Anti-Semitism, Historical Facts on Anti-Semitism as a Reflection of Jewish Social Discord. From CabTV's Systematic Analysis of the Development of the People of Israel, December 28, 2019.